appreciate that sweet prayer, and I feel better after hearing my brethren pray and knowing that each of you, I believe, are praying with me and for me as I stand before you this morning. I'm just very encouraged by your presence here. It's a great blessing to see those that have gathered as you have this morning to worship the Lord, and I do believe that's why you're here this morning. I just had a delightful day yesterday, just to share with you briefly, traveling down to the brethren there in Danville at Old Mill Church. It was a great, great blessing. Be with Brother Jamie again and see my preacher brethren and the fellowship of the brethren that are there. I want you to know there's brethren there that are praying for us here at Happy Creek and the churches in Northern Virginia. And we need to be praying for them as well, praying for one another. It's good to be at a place and feel to be at home while you're there. And we do have little places like that all over this nation and other places in the world where God's children gather to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when we're there among them, it's like a little heaven here below. It's like you go away from home to go home. And I pray this will be a little home for us this morning as well. The Lord, we felt yesterday, felt Him all day long, that He'll be with us today and supply what we need, especially at this time as I stand before you. I'd like to read a very familiar passage of Scripture in your hearing that's been on my mind this morning. Used it many times before, but feel very impressed with it this morning. Trust it's of the Lord. We'll look at Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading at the very end of the chapter, beginning in verse 25, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here as He walked here in this world, as He spoke. It's wonderful that we have the recording in the Bible of those wonderful teachings that He gave that have also been given to us that we might learn from them. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." This passage of Scripture many of us have heard maybe all our lives, either quoted by others or in our own reading, or if you've been among Old Baptists, you've heard it quite often, and really among all orders in this world, this is a pretty commonly used passage of Scripture. This morning, as I speak from it, even though it's been used by so many, and many of the things that I say have been said many times before, it's still the truth today, and it's still just as meaningful and as important to us to have and to know. And I pray the Lord will bless us not just to intellectually understand what's written here, but that we might truly feel the importance of what's written here and actually experience that importance as we gather today as a body of God's children to worship the Lord. We talked a little bit already about the absolute importance of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our services when we worship God. We need the Lord to be able to worship the Lord. If we're going to sing in the right and proper way, we're going to have the manifest presence of the Lord to give us that unction, that desire to sing, that ability to sing. It's not about the notes, and we're glad of that. It's not about the pitch or the timing. It's not about whether you get the song started at the right place or whether you're singing at this tempo or that pitch or another pitch. But it's about singing the best you can from your heart unto the Lord. And that requires the manifest presence of the Lord. As you're singing, you have to realize He's right here with us. He's with me. He's with me, I believe, right now in this pulpit. I'm believing by faith that He's with me. that He's given me and guiding me and directing me as we look at a portion of His Word, that it's not just because I felt that'd be a pretty good thing to talk about, but that He is leading me to give to you what you need, which I don't have a clue about, but that He knows all about. And that the Lord would supply to me the words that you need to hear from His Word that would fit your case and your situation, and that He would sit right with you where you are on the bench, as well as here with me, and give to you in your mind and in your thoughts that which you need for this moment. And our needs really this moment, first of all, we need to know that our needs are great. You're living in a world full of darkness, and in yourself you have absolutely no light. You're living in a time and a day where it's going to take great strength to live and walk as you should and ought. And in and of yourself, you have absolutely no strength at all. And I say yourself, ourselves would be a better word for that. We collectively together don't have the ability, the wisdom, the strength, the light, all that we really stand in need of today to help any one of us, much less all of us. We, without Him, can do absolutely nothing. You don't know how to be if you're a husband, you don't know how to be the head of your household without the Lord. If you're a wife, you don't know how to love your children. You don't know how to love your husband. You don't know how to be the wife that you're supposed to be without the Lord. If you're on the job, you don't know how to work without the Lord. If you're driving down the road, you don't know how to drive without the Lord. If you're sitting at a table eating, you don't know how to eat without the Lord. You don't know how to function in this world in a way that's pleasing to God without the Lord. We know from the Bible that intellectually, with the wisdom of man, it will not make us better and more like we ought to be as God's children, but it's hidden from us. The wiser that we become in our own efforts and in our own mind and our own way, all the ideas and the high-minded thoughts of men that think we can teach man how to live and make a little utopia here on this world, in this world, and things will get ever evolving better and better and better until we finally ascend to some higher plane or some higher place. I'm telling you, that's just a lie that the Bible tells us in and of ourselves. We do not know the way. We do not know the truth. We have no life in us. We are bankrupt. We are void from the light, the wisdom, the strength, the courage, the ability that you and I so vitally and essentially need in our lives. And without the Lord, we can do nothing. And without the Lord, first of all, you don't even want to do anything. You're not concerned about Him. If you have a concern about Him today, if you're wanting to live right, if you're desiring to worship Him, if you understand that there is a God, that He created the heavens and the earth, and I am His creature, and I owe Him praise because of what He's done for me. If you see that, it's because He has enlightened you to see it. And you didn't see it because you got the wisdom of the world. You see it because this mighty God struck you down and allowed you to know things you could not know and understand things you could not understand unless He opened that eye and opened that heart and really brings you this morning and me as a little babe. We come as little babes. I hope you feel like a little babe this morning. I hope you come hungry. I hope you come thirsty. I hope you open your mouth wide like a little bird does when a mother comes over the nest and those little mouths pop open because they want a crumb coming from that mother because they're hungry. God's children ought to come to the house of God with their mouths wide open. The psalmist says, from the word of the Lord, that if you open your mouth wide, He will fill it. Sometimes we're sitting there with our mouths closed. We can't even hear the wondrous voice of the Lord that sometimes is not like a mighty rushing wind, but it's a still, small voice that speaks to you right in your heart. If you've ever heard Him, you will forever be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. One sweet day. We sang sweet by and by because there is one. And one day we'll be with Him forever in glory. And I believe from the Word of God that everyone that God loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, those He chose according to Ephesians 1, chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world. Those are the ones He redeemed. Those are the ones that He predestinated. Those are the ones that He chose. Those are the ones that He works in their life. If you're awake today, it's because He woke you up. If you're alive today, it's because He gave you life. If you desire to be better, if you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness and you want those things, it's because He has quickened you. He has done a work in your life that one day He will finally and completely complete. And you, body, soul, and spirit, and I hope and pray, body, soul, and spirit will be one day forever with the Lord in a place called heaven that He has prepared. There is a place prepared for you, a mansion, if you will. That means a place of heavenly abode that He said, where I am, there ye may be also. And I know that has some timely applications, but there's an eternal application of that verse. One day we're going to be at home in glory. And in between here and there, we just got a little short trip. You got a short trip. You're on a little short journey. You say, well, short. You know, some of these little sisters sitting here 90 years old say, well, I've been here 90 years. It seems like it might have been a long time, but it's really like a blink, isn't it? You blink your eyes and the time's passed. Just a vapor. The Bible, James says that, you know, we're to talk about the Lord willing, I'm going to do this. The Lord willing, I'm going to do that. Why? Because our life is but a vapor, and we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I got my ideas and thoughts. We got some things coming up tomorrow. Little Sister Betty has some things coming up tomorrow that could cause her to have today ruined. Worrying to death about what's coming tomorrow. I'd probably be sitting right there. Look, my knee's hurting bad enough. I'm a little worried about what's coming for me. I don't know what's going to come, but I know this. There's a God who holds today, and this is the day the Lord has made, and He told me to rejoice in it. And when tomorrow comes, if indeed it comes, because the Lord could come between this moment and tomorrow, and you won't even have to worry about that. You could bypass that surgery, sister. You won't even need that. You're going to fly out of here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody said, you believe that, preacher? Well, this Bible says that. And I believe this Bible. I believe what it says. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that this same God who made the heavens and the earth is one day going to come again. Jesus is going to come again, and there's going to be a resurrection of the bodies of those of God's children that are laying in the graves and scattered across the face of this earth. And those who are alive and remain, every one of His elect, are going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. And we won't have to worry about Obamacare or any other care. Because we're going to go home and be with the Lord. And until that time, we have a promise. If we come to Him, though we're burdened and heavy laden, He will give us rest. And I'm telling you, the one who said this has the power to keep His word. So many people today are talking about a Jesus that's not described in the Bible. The Jesus that's described in the Bible is the Jesus who has power. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. The Jesus we're talking about has a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Christ. His name is the Lord. He's Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the first and the last. He is Jesus, Savior. The Bible says that by the name Savior, He has the power to give eternal life to as many that was given unto Him. And the very fact His name is Savior is that He would save them. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. According to Matthew, it says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Didn't say He was going to try to do it, hope to do it, maybe get it done. Maybe if you'll let Him, He'll do it. If you'll just give in to Him, you can get it done. Hopes He can get it done. Begging, pleading. The Jesus that's begging and pleading is not talked about in the Word of God. I'm telling you, Jesus speaks. And it's by His power that this world is setting in its axis and not going somewhere else. It's by His power that the sun goes across the sky. The heat of the sun came from His power. He's the power source. If without Him, we'd have no light, natural or spiritual. Without Him, we'd have nothing. We can be completely in the dark. But with Him, we have the promise of heaven and immortal glory. That I can stand here with the confidence He gives me in His Word and promise you, for He has said in His Word, that if you're His old child today, the moment that you die, you're going to leave this old world and open your eyes and see Him face to face. And there's nothing that's going to be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't want you to see Him as a weak, feeble, effeminate, sissy character that the world so often pictures Him to be. I'm telling you, Jesus was meek and He was lowly and He was humble, but He had the power that when they came to take Him, they could not have laid a hand on Him. They fell back as dead men. I'm telling you, as that one who came into the temple and saw the travesty of what had taken place when men had brought in goods and all those things, the love of money, into the house of God. And he said, "You made this place a den of thieves, and this is a house of prayer." And he took a scourge. I'm telling you what, you wouldn't want to have been in his way when he turned over those tables and drove them from the temple. There's coming out of the mouth of the one we're speaking about, that one that was talked about in Revelations 1, a two-edged sword is coming from his mouth, that same one that can open up your life. Listen, he has spoken to me with that still small voice and broken me down and broken my heart and made me see what a sinner I am and see what great need I have of him and realize old Gary, who thought he was on top of the world, ain't so much after all. And every once in a while, he still has to do that. You say, "Who are you talking to, preacher?" I'm talking to all of us. And you say, "Well, I'm sure glad you're giving it to them." I'm really talking to you if you feel like that. I say that in all the love I know. Listen, of all the people that need him this morning, I need him. I need him. I need him to bless me to be what I'm supposed to be, because there's so often I'm off track. I need him to, I want to feel him when I live. I need to feel him when I get up in the morning. I don't want to just go through church service on Sunday and feel him and then on Monday forget about him and walk all week long waiting to maybe get back to Sunday where I can remember him again. I want to remember him when I'm talking to my wife and I'm talking to my children and I'm talking on the job and when I'm living. And listen, I'll never get it to where I want to have it, in a sense, because there's an old nature. Listen, the Bible says you're to put off the old man with his deeds. And as we talked about yesterday, it's talking about the old woman too. You say, "Oh man, he done hit the women now." Talking to old women. Listen, old man, old women, what is that talking about? That's that old part of us that wants our way. And you got that nature in you. I want it now. I want my way now. Most of the time, the reason I'm upset is because Gary's not getting his way. How about you? Some of you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, I sure feel sorry for him. I'm glad I'm not like that." Listen, can I tell you? If that's you, I'm talking to you. I'll say it lovingly, but it's especially to you. I need his presence. I don't want to go through church and not feel his presence. I don't want to go here and sit there and think, "Oh boy, the brother was so doctrinally on track today. Boy, he really laid that predestination and the 5 points of salvation and he talked about them and laid them just right," and not feel Jesus in my heart and in my life and be stone cold. Listen, I don't believe when we get to heaven we're going to be worried about all the doctrine. Listen, the doctrine's important and I want sound doctrine. But if I can't feel a part of that doctrine, it's a cold, dull, pharisaical thought that is just as much vanity as any other thought in this world. Predestination doesn't mean anything to me unless I think I'm in it. And being elected doesn't have anything to do if I don't feel like I've been one of his elect. And listen, my election and my predestination wasn't about what I did for him. The Bible tells me clearly I didn't deserve it. Do you understand? Do we understand we didn't deserve it? I am so unworthy of what He's done for me that if I got what I deserved, I'd be cast away from Him forever. And there's no hope or remedy for me outside of a loving Savior who came in a time of love and picked me up from the dunghill I was in this world and set my feet upon a solid rock. And now He's given me a life to live, a new life, a new life. So we believe in a new birth. Some people believe you just can get in that when you want to. We believe it happens to you when you don't want it. Now, some of it may have happened when you was in your mother's womb. Do you believe in a Savior who can reach a baby in his mother's womb? I do. There was one by the name of John the Baptist that kicked for joy in his mother's womb. He didn't just kick. He didn't just have a gas pain as a little baby and kick like maybe a little babies do. He kicked for joy. Why? Because even in his mother's womb, he had a spiritual ear. And at the salutation that was made of the Savior and what was going to happen, that little babe leaped in his mother's womb for joy. It kicked for joy. And John the Baptist, strange character, came forth preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that work of grace happened in a mother's womb. And some people, it may have happened in a very early age. I've seen them run around on the bench and look like you had to lock them in the pew to try to keep them still. And they're moving here and moving there. And all of a sudden they stop running around and start listening. And what happened? Something happened. I don't know where you've been, but I got a feeling from the Word of God, I have some understanding that at some point you may have been anywhere. I know where I've been. I don't want you to know. I know God knows. That same one who stood there with that sword, two-edged sword, also had eyes of flame of fire. And those eyes that are a flame of fire over in the Revelation 1 are talking about the eyes that are in every place that see everything I've ever done and the reason I'm doing it. That really changes things, doesn't it? All people can see what you do and suppose why you do it, but Jesus knows what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. And that should humble us. It also should cause us to draw nigh unto Him. Listen, the one we're coming to is not a weak Savior. Jesus is not a weak Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He said, "Come unto me." You can't come unto Him unless you're drawn to the Father. He said in John 6, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." It says it's hidden from the wise and prudent. You can't get smart enough to come unto Him. You have to be made born again, new birth, born from above, quickened and made alive. And when He's done that, your life changes. And you may try to get along in this world like no change happened. You may try to live in this world like no change happened. You may try to get along and do things like the rest of the world does. But I'm telling you, when God has changed you, you are changed. You are a new creature. And when you try to walk contrary to His will, He will chasten you. And me. And you can have everybody happy with you, but if the Lord isn't, you're going to be an unhappy little boy or little girl or old woman or old man or whatever we are. He knows us. And see, as a minister of the gospel and you as His little sheep, if I'm an under shepherd, I want you to be happy in the Lord. And the only way you'll be happy in the Lord is to come unto Him. You come unto Him with every burden you have. You have a problem that's depressing you, distressing you, that seems to be too big. You turn it over to Him because He can handle it. Listen, there are many people that used to be on this substance or that substance that are substance free today because of Jesus. There are many people who had their minds all messed up that are now of a sound mind because of Jesus. There are many, and listen, we said many people, you think what He's done for you. And if you're not getting it, I pray He will do something for you. And I say that humbly, as much as I know. Sometimes we can look at folks and say, "I'm glad I'm not like this one. I'm glad I'm not like that one." What we ought to say is, "But for the grace of God, there go I. And I know what He's done for me. And if He's done that for me, He can do it. He does it for others. He does it for His children. And when they have those problems, when you have those problems and I have them, we can come. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who is it we come to? We come to one that's girded in a robe all the way to the bottom of His feet. That pictures His wonderful, glorious righteousness. I need to be washed, don't you? I've got a lot I've done wrong. I've got a lot of places I've messed up. Even since I've been trying to live better, you know. And you say, why are you trying to live better? If you're trying to live better, it's pretty good evidence the Lord's worked on you. Because you got to want to live better. You see, the man of this world that's in the world, he doesn't care about living better. He doesn't even know better. As Brother prayed, we make good evil and evil good. Our nation doesn't even know what's better at times. It's sad to say, but we've called good evil and evil good. And men don't know what's right and wrong until God awakens you. And then He's written His Word to let you know what's right and wrong. Do you feel confused in this world? Trouble, mixed up, heart sick, heart broken? Has sin discouraged you, depressed you? Do you feel like you're overwhelmed in the flood of it? Can I tell you about one who has the power? He's girt from the top. He's got on a garment of righteousness that He places upon you that allows you to live in this world as an overcomer. I don't have to be as mean and hard-headed and bull-headed, even if it's the oots in me to be that way. I don't have to be that way if I'll just simply come to the Lord and look to Him for what I need. And I talk about the oots. You can put your last name right in there too, because as a son and a daughter of Adam, there's where you are. Hope you're getting it. Come unto me. Who? Everybody in this world? No, there's a people that He's quickened. There's a people that He's touched. There's a people that He's worked on. And you hath He quickened, Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He's made you alive. Your home in heaven is secure. I can't do one thing to help you with that, nor do I need. He didn't need help. As a matter of fact, I'm not even helping. I am here as His under-shepherd, if anything, simply telling you what the Lord has done. And pointing you to the one that you're to look to. If we look to the preacher, you're going to be upset. If you look to the church, you're going to be upset. But if you look to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll help you with the. He'll help you even use the church and the ministry to help you. But our power source is the Lord, isn't it? No, why would we want it to be anywhere else? We can hide from the church. We can hide from the preacher, but with this one with eyes full of flames of fire, he sees all the darkness as is light unto Him. There is no darkness in Him. There is no darkness at all. That's what the Scripture says. He says, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." And why? "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." Listen, the church has been designed to give God the glory. There's no place for a plaque with my name on it or your name on it here. There's no place for any honor to be given unto me and to you. And the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have honor only for the Lord. That's why we're to call no man father, no man reverend. We're to give honor and praise unto the Lord. And even the honor that we share with one another, we thank the Lord for. Listen, I can hug my brethren and be thankful they're my brethren, but the only reason they're my brethren is because it's Christ in them. The light I see in your life, and you've shown me a great light. Listen, you're sitting here this morning feeding on His Word. There's a light that shines from you, but that light doesn't come out of you by your own power. He is your light. He's the light of the world. And as He works in you and you shine that light forth, you are the light of the world. And you don't know of what great benefit you can be to your home, to your family, to your community. But only as we walk in Him. I need to draw close, don't I? I need it right now, too. I need it now. I need it this moment. Sometimes I feel so close, I feel like I can't get close. I'm just missing it. Because as long as I'm in this world, there's some growing that I need to do. And it's not a listen. This is not a burden. This is a joy. It's a yoke, but it's a wonderful yoke. It's a blessing to walk in this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's the study of his word. I hope we're being students of his word. I hope we're spending time in his word. God's children to get away from his word will grow cold. We stop reading it, we'll grow cold. You probably experienced times where you've been so busy you felt like it just didn't have time, and you chose, and I've done that, and chosen not to read it, and I grow cold. I go cold. Maybe miss meetings. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you just do, and you grow cold, and you get barren. You need to hear. I need to hear it more. I need to hear it again. And then you read it, and you study it. And as you do that, you learn of him. Here's what you learn. You learn what a powerful Savior he is. You learn about his work of redemption. Listen, Jesus loved us so much that he came down into this world and took upon himself a body of flesh. That one that John saw was like unto the Son of Man. The reason he was like unto the Son of Man, because he was with the God. In the beginning he was the Word, and he was with God, and he was God. But John 1 says also that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took on upon himself a body of flesh that he might die in our room instead at Calvary. And at Calvary there, he paid a sin debt we could not pay. He took our sins in his own body. And he who knew no sin, according to Apostle Paul, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you take that righteousness that he wore, and he places it upon us. And that means when I pray, God can hear me. We understand that if we had to get our prayers to heaven, they wouldn't get above our heads. Somebody said, I've done so much wrong, I can't pray. Listen, if you understand you've done so much wrong, it shows God's been with you and blessed you to let you see that. And it's you who have access to a throne of grace. And through the blood of Jesus, you can come boldly to that throne of grace and find deliverance, find peace and rest as you need it. Brother, as we look to him, and it doesn't matter where the Lord has dealt with you, you need it in your life, young and old. Need him. Need to hear it over and over. He said, take my yoke upon you. First of all, as we come to him, those that are burdened and heavy laden, you're given rest. But then there's a yoke you put on. And when you're yoked up, you don't go to sleep. Listen, you don't yoke up something to put them to sleep. It's about being active in this world as God's children. It's about living faithful to him. It's about getting up each day and seeing it as, I wonder what the Lord has in store for us today. Do we believe he's compassed our path? Do you believe he's all around you? Do you believe he's before you and behind you? Then don't you think there's something awaiting you if he brings tomorrow that he has for you, a purpose for you, a direction for you? And we don't know what that is. Sometimes we're worried about where am I going? What am I going to do? And brethren, we're not resting in him. And I said, I'm talking more. I could just take this and make it for me this morning. I want to rest in him. I know this. He's done amazing things in my life. I've seen him change my family. I've seen him work in those around me in such a glorious way. It makes me want to just thank the Lord. I've seen him work in the life of you in this church. I've seen him work in the lives of other people on my job. I've seen him move in this world. Somebody said, how do you know he's really real? Well, he walks with me and he talks with me. And I've seen the effects of his handprint and his footsteps in my life. Have you not seen that along the way? Brethren, because of that, I as the hymn writer says, because he holds tomorrow, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And that makes life worth a living. Just because he lives. I got a lot of trouble. A lot of things I wish was different. You do too. And the reason I know that is because the Bible says that. In this world you shall have tribulation. Didn't say everybody but you. You go at it. But be of good cheer, he said, for I've overcome the world. When we come to him, trusting in him, this is not coming to him for life. I've already said it. I hope you've gotten it. It's those that are living that come to Him. It's those that are heavy laden and burdened that are coming to Him. When you see one heavy laden and burdened, you're seeing a living little child of grace. And they come to Him not to get life, but to get rest and peace and light and joy and strength and courage and all that we need in this world to live. And you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Listen, He is the way and the truth and the life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That means when you come to Jesus, you're coming to one who can relate to wherever you are and whatever you're doing. He is not weak, but He is the meek and lowly lamb. He humbled Himself, and as our high priest, He suffered in every way and understands every temptation that we've ever understood. He's faced them all and conquered them all. And He is a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Sometimes you just want to talk to somebody that understands. I know my wife at times wants to talk to me and I just don't get it. I try, but I just don't get it. And some of you wives probably can be frustrated. But then your husband just don't get it. Now, sometimes we husbands get frustrated because she just don't get it. Sometimes I call up my preacher brethren. I think, boy, they're going to help me and we all just get worse. But I'll tell you, that hours and that time spent with Jesus, I've never felt that way. I've not always gotten the answers I've wanted, but I've always gotten the answers I needed. He's always been the shepherd that I needed. He's always supplied what I needed. There's never been a time I've gone there that I was sorry I went. There's never been a time I turned to His Word for advice that I was sorry I did. There's never been a time He's let me down. And the Bible says, and He's promised to always be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. And that's a promise you can count on. Come what may. Whether life or death. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sometimes we get the idea that it's hard to live in this old world following the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not. It's hard as a little child of God to live in this world not following Him. You'll be sick. You'll be in the dark. You'll be bumping into things. It'll be worse than a deer bumping into it. I'll tell you. Without the Lord, we bump into things. We don't have any light. Well, with the Lord, we got the light we need. He's been made unto us wisdom. That means we have the wisdom that we need. Righteousness. That means He's cleaned us up, washed us, forgiven us, so that we can even pray and be heard and have access to communion with God in heaven. You got a problem? You got a need? Turn it over to the Lord. If you really need it, He'll supply it. If you didn't really need it, He'd keep it from you. And you can rest at whatever comes. It's His will, and I'm settled with it. And if you have that kind of contentment in your life with godliness, you have gained more than if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He set us apart. And redemption. Oh, redemption. Is redemption important? Whew. Redeemed. If we were not redeemed, there would be no... dying would be a fearful thing if you were not redeemed. Living would be a fearful thing if you were not redeemed. We didn't have anything to do with getting into our redemption. He redeemed us. We were redeemed by His blood. He who loved us redeemed us, washed us in His own blood, paid a sin debt we could not pay. And because of that, you are special in His sight. Believe me. It's a strange thing as you sit among old Baptists and hear them talk about how you're absolutely nothing one minute, and then they talk about how special you are. See, you don't want to miss either part of that. You see, in the Lord, you're very, very special in His sight. That's why preachers ought to be careful how they talk to you and speak to you. You're talking to the Lord's people. I don't want to offend one of the Lord's people. The Bible says it'd be better for a millstone to be cast about my neck and cast over in the sea and drown. It'd be better for me for that to happen. That doesn't sound very good to me. And it'd be better for that to happen than for me to offend one of God's little children. That doesn't mean I shouldn't preach the truth if that offends them. It means that I am not to offend them by my behavior, my ignorance, the way I treat them. I want you to come and be here. I want you to feed. I want to see all the lambs feeding on sheep food. I don't want to give you something that's going to make you sick. And I know if I preach the Word, it'll keep you healthy. It'll be good. If I leave the Word, then I'm going to give you something that's not going to be good for you. And that's a big responsibility for a minister. To stand and preach the truth. And that helps you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I am meek and lowly in heart, and then you shall find rest unto your souls. Are you resting today? Or are you troubled? If you're like me, you're kind of mixed. I'm resting when I cast it on him, but then I reel it back in, I get troubled again, and then I battle. Well, let me give you this verse because it's very, very important. In Galatians, it says, the works of the flesh are there. So that we and it is true that we cannot, because of those things, we cannot follow Him as we ought and should. That's a battle you're going to have. And I guess what I'm trying to really say this morning is you fight that battle of putting off the old man with his deeds and putting on the new man, which is in you. He's not out there, he's in you. Put him on. When you get that dilemma that comes and you see somebody says something and you just want to sass them. You ever get that? Somebody says something and you just want to tell them off. They need it. I need to tell them the way I feel because I know they need it. Because I know so much better than they know and they're about to get it. I'm going to unload both barrels on them. Let them have it. And then you do that and you've left that off and as you walk away, you're not at rest. And what you said may have even been the truth. But it wasn't delivered in a godly manner. It was in the flesh. Been there? You fight that. You say, am I ever going to get over that? Yeah, when you die, you're going to get over it. When you leave that old man buried in the ground, you're going to get over that. When you separate, and one day our vile body, get this, our vile body is going to be changed. It's going to be good to be in glory. You'll have your body, but it'll be glorified and it won't be filled with all that stuff. It's going to be changed. Paul didn't say he's going to come and change this body that used to be vile and got better. No, he said he's coming again and change my vile body, which means I'm going to contend with this old man until I leave this world in death. That means you've got a daily battle. To do what? To put off the old man with his deeds. What we think sometimes is I got him down. I got him whipped. Yeah, I got him now. I'm really walking good today. I wish everybody else was walking as good as I was. This world would be a whole lot better place. An old man's talking. Hear him? Sometimes he don't say it out loud, but he sure acts it. I'm giving it to me. Remember, there's one Lord, and it's not us, it's Him. There's one Savior. And as we humble ourselves and say, Lord, not my way, but thy way. Lord, help me be strong, but help me be meek as you were meek. Help me be kind as you were kind. Help me forgive as you have forgiven me. Jesus never compromised. I'm not talking about compromising, and I'm not talking about being weak. I'm talking about being humble as a little child of God and standing boldly for the truth in a way and a manner that is honoring to the Lord. And the only way we can do that and know how to do that is to follow Him. And when we do that, you will find rest unto your souls. And if you have rest in this old world, you're just resting in the Lord. And if you're not resting in the Lord, you're not resting. And I could keep on going and run this rabbit a long way, long ways. You've been very kind this morning and very attentive. I thank the Lord for that. I just pray that we will, at each meeting, wherever it's either here or wherever it is, desire that the Lord sits with us and we feel His manifest presence as we gather, not just go through the motions. I don't think it's probably anything is displeasing to our Lord for us to gather in the knowledge that we have and just go through the motions. Don't you think that's a great, great thing that was contrary to what He would have us do? He's given us a lot, hasn't He? Don't we want to be thankful? Don't we want to be real about it? Don't we want to praise Him? Don't we want to realize that He's with us? If we do, it'll change the way we act and think. And I, again, appreciate what you've done in a way of attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. Appreciate your sweet prayer and all you do.